Okay, the number of the Talmidim have submitted questions, so we'll start. The first question was, how do we know when a halacha can be deemed to be no longer applicable, such as some assume that the issur of eating meat and fish, maybe it wouldn't be applicable, or mayim achronim. When do we assume that halachas apply forever, even if the reason doesn't seem to apply? What would be the distinction between different halachas?
When the Gemara has a din that's based on health, so the Chasam Sofer says the rabbis were not doctors and they didn't have halachal Moshe Messina. They got it from the Goyish doctors of their generation. And we know that medicine has improved over the years. The way medicine is practiced, the way medicine was practiced 10 years ago, if doctors today will look back, they're going to laugh at that. That's ridiculous. That was barbaric. Medicine keeps on changing, keeps on developing. So in the days of the Tanoim, they said, the Gemara has something about fish and meat that were cooked together. It's only if it's cooked together. If the fish and meat were cooked separately, you eat it together. The Shach said, that's not a sakan. Even according to the Gemara, that's not a sakan. But even so, the Magen Avraham writes in his commentary on Shulchan. Magen Avraham is the major commentary on the Orach Chaim, on the side of the page in Orach Chaim. So he thinks that the fish and the meat doesn't apply to Bizman. As though we haven't heard anybody getting sick from eating fish and meat that was cooked together. That's what the Magen Avraham writes, because it's not, the Chachamim, is a din in the Chumash, you're not allowed to do something that's dangerous to you. In every generation, you have to ask the doctor. We do the same as the Tanaim. The doctors ask the rabbis ask the doctors of their generation, so we ask the doctors of our generation. We follow exactly what the Gemara did. We follow the doctors of our generation. So if they said something in medicine, it wasn't Talach al-Moshe Messina. The Chassam Sofer says it was based on the Goyish doctors of their generation. If the doctors of our generation think that, so it's not so. So the Nadiv Yehudi writes about this, Magen Avraham, he's not so convinced that it's not so. Maybe it still is a sakana. Okay, so some people are still concerned about it. Shulchan Aruch says they shouldn't have fish and meat that were cooked together, maybe unhealthy. Mayim Achronim also, the Gemara says two reasons why you have to wash Mayim Achronim. So one reason is, Kishem Shebezuham Pasul Avoida Kach Yedai Mezuham is Psudos Lebroche. If you have a carbon that's Mezuham, it's not a Balmum, but it's old and it looks awful, it looks disgusting. So you're not allowed to be makhvin such a carbon on the Mizbech. So Yedai Mezuham is, if you have sticky fingers, you just had ice cream. And you lick your fingers or whatever, your fingers are full of herring. Your fingers are all sticky, and you wouldn't touch your coat, you wouldn't touch your jacket, you wouldn't touch your shirt, it's going to make a stain. So you're not supposed to say a bracha with your diamonds or hummus. That's one consideration. So that you should always be careful. When you say bar nefashis, whenever you say any bracha, even in the middle of the meal, let's say, your fingers are sticky from the herring in the beginning of the meal, then you want to say bar pi adom on some potato kugel or something. So you have to wash your hands in the middle. It's not only a din on benching. Any bracha. That's supposed to be a bracha, be a diamond of hummus. Then there's another concern, the Gemara says, that you should be careful about this banazat too. Then the Gemara talks about melach sedomas. So Taisa says, we don't have any melach sedomas. Now, if you used to dip the fingers into the salt, and then you rub your eyes with the salt on your fingers, so you're going to rub the salt into your eye, could be a sakon. So we don't stick our fingers in the salt, and we don't rub our fingers in the eye. So the Bali Atosu said they didn't wash my machrein. So other Rishonim think, no, that was made as a takonas chachamim, and even if you don't have melach sedomas, even if you don't rub the salt in your eye, you still have to wash my machrein. But the Bali Atosu didn't. Bali Atosu didn't wash my machrein. Whenever the chachamim made a takona de rabbanon, even if it was made for a specific reason, and you live in a generation where the reason no longer applies, so then the Gemara has a rule, Davosha de Minyan. Davosha de Minyan means that Chachamim were Omdu le Minyan. They took a vote and they made a din de Rabbanon. So Davosha de Minyan, Tzach Minyan Achal HaTira. Even if you live in a generation where the reason no longer applies, the din was established stomach. Most of all of the dinim in the Chumash have good reasons. All the dinim in the Torah have a good reason. And the Gemara will spend a lot of time trying to figure out what are the Tamei HaMitzvahs, what are the reasons for the mitzvahs. And there's a Machlekes HaTanaim, Reb Shimon and the Chachamim, Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, the author of the Zohar, is a Tana. So Reb Shimon is of the opinion, Dashina Taimei Dekro. When you give the reason for the mitzvahs, not only is that a chelik of Tamei Torah, like the Gemara says, why does a Ganav pay kefil and a Gazan doesn't pay kefil? How come there's a difference? And how come when you Tavach HaMachar, Shor said, why is Chamisha Boker Shalom Tachas HaShav, Arba Tzom Tachas HaTzeh, how come this and how come that? So the Gemara gives reasons for many of the mitzvahs. So giving reasons for all of the mitzvahs is a chelik of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. You should learn the dinim, and you should try to learn what is the moral, ethical, or religious principle that this din is teaching us. So to figure out the Tamei HaMitzvahs is a chelik of Talmud Torah. The machlekes of Shimon and the Chachamim is Tamei HaMitzvahs. It's one of the Midrash HaTorah that Reshes Pen, like a Dovish Oye Bechlal, Yotzman HaKlal, like a Klala Prata Klala, like a... All the mitzvahs are turned into Reshes Pem. So the Tamei HaMitzvahs regulate the application of the mitzvahs. Whenever the Tam doesn't apply, the mitzvah doesn't apply. Or no. Lo Yidashina Tamei HaDikra. Tamei HaDikra is not a drasha. It's not from the mitzvahs are turned into Reshes Pem. You should always try to figure out Tamei HaMitzvahs. The Rambam and the Gemara, the Buchim writes a lot Tamei HaMitzvahs. Sefer Chinuch writes, all the Hasidish Sfarim write, everybody writes Tamei HaMitzvahs. Nigla, Nista, whatever. Tamei HaMitzvah, but that's Talmud Torah, Tamei HaMitzvah, but it's not from the Midrash HaTorah Nid Reshes Ben. So the accepted opinion is the Loike Reb Shimon. We pass the Loi Dashina Tamei HaDikro. It's important to know what moral, ethical, or religious principle is the mitzvah teaching us, what is the Tamei HaMitzvah, but it's not from Midrash HaTorah, it doesn't regulate the application. So the Achreinim explained, called the Tikkun Rabbanan, came the Reis HaTikkun. It's very rare in the Chumash that you have a mitzvah and the reason is mefurish next to the mitzvah. Ruba de ruba of the mitzvahs are written stoma, and even though we can figure out on their own, common sense can figure out on their own what the reason for the mitzvah is, but the mitzvah was written stoma, so we say it's a lo plug derais. So ruba de ruba of the takhanas, all the takhanas are rabbanan, they had to have a good reason. The Gemara always tells you what the reason is, but ruba de ruba of the takhanas are rabbanan were instituted stoma. They didn't say, this mitzvah is instituted because of this reason. But whenever those few rare cases, when they said, we're making a din derabbanan because of this reason, then whenever the reason doesn't apply, the takana doesn't apply. But most of the time, they patterned all the din of derabbanan after din of deraisa. So ruba deruba of the din of derabbanan, they did not incorporate the tam ha-mitzvah, the tam ha-din into the din. The Gemara says, in fact, in Maseches Avodah Zarah, whenever they would make a Gzeirah Derabbanan, they wouldn't reveal the reason until after 12 months went by. They wanted everybody to observe the din first. If they're going to say, this is a takana for this and this reason. So every yeshiva guy, every Tom, Dick, and Aaron say, I'm intelligent, I'm learned, I'm frum. I'll be careful not to violate the din deraisa. I don't have to observe the din derabbanan. I don't need that Gzeirah Derabbanan. I'm not an idiot. So they never wanted to reveal the reason for the Gzeirah Derabbanan. Until after 12 months, after Tresa Yachin Shati, after a year went by and everybody was observing the Din Derabbanan, then they would reveal the reason for the Gzeirah Derabbanan. So the Ruba Deruba, they did not incorporate the Tam HaGzeirah into the Nusach HaGzeirah. So that's why the Din is, Dovish HaBiminyan, Tzoch Min Yerach HaLatir. It's basically the same as saying that Loi Dashin HaTayim HaNikro. And there are rare cases, that's a question, why less than 5% of the Gzeirah Derabbanan, very few, did they incorporate the Tam HaGzeirah into the Nusach HaGzeirah. So then you assume whatever the reason for the din doesn't apply, so the whole din falls apart. So that you got to figure out why. So the Mishkan Sankhya has a fantastic tshuva. He says, whenever the Gzeirah Derabbanan is Bakiras Dovah Min HaTorah, take for example, Min HaTorah, a kohen who's a Balmum is permitted to duchen. A kohen who's shikar is not allowed to duchen. That's a question whether that's Min HaTorah or Derabbanan. But a kohen who's a balmum is permitted to duchen. So then, with the rabbanan, the Mishnah Megillah has a takana kohen sheyesh l'mumi b'panav yod b'raglav is not allowed to duchen because it's not proper. It's not their heretz to look at the kohen's hands when they're duchening. And if you're going to have mumi b'panav yod b'raglav, is going to draw attention to look at him, and someone may look at his hands while he's duchening. So Rav Yosef Kara writes. Rav Yosef Kara lived in the middle of the 1500s. He writes that they just developed a new minig during his lifetime. That the kohen cover over their hands when they do. Cover over their hands. So the whole din derabbanan doesn't apply anymore. You can't even see the kohen's hands if you want, unless you crawl under the talus. But if the kohen covers their hands. And Mishnah Berurah, Chofetz Chaim lived in Poland. In Poland, he says, the minhag was not so. The kohen would cover their faces and the hands would be exposed. So then the din still applied. But he writes in Lithuania, the Mishnah Berurah writes in Lithuania, they cover their hands like Rabbi Yosef Kara lived in Eretz Yisrael. When they cover their hands, then the whole din in the Mishnah doesn't apply. What do you mean? Rabbi Yosef Kara takes a Mishnah and he throws it out. What happened to the rule? The answer is this takana that a kohen who has bumin but part of the other miraglav is bakiras dovman atarah. The rabbis are telling us to violate what it says in the chumash. It says in the chumash the kohanim should all duchen even if they have a mum. And the chachamim say b'shevi al tasa yeshka b'achacham laka dovman atarah b'shevi al tasa. They say don't listen to what it says in the chumash. Don't duchen. So whenever the Takara the Rabbanon is in conflict with what it says in the Torah, they tell you not to fulfill the mitzvah in the Torah. They tell you don't carry in a karmelis and don't write with your left hand and all the million and one trillion and one zillion and one dinim the Rabbanon. So okay, but if they tell you not to fulfill the mitzvah, that's Akira's dogma on Torah. So there, they can't just make exera. Don't duchen. What do you mean don't duchen? I'm a chayiv to duchen. The Gabbai said kohanim. I have to go duchen. The answer is, yeshkach v'yarchacham l'laka dogma on Torah b'shei v'al tase. So whenever they make a takana that's Bakira's Dabman Atar, then they have to incorporate the Tamak Zera into the Nusach Zera. So then it's not going to be a loik pluk. Then you say, yes, Dashina time in the Krum. Good question. Whenever there's a Dinder Rabbanan about health, they're not making a takana Rabbanan. It says in the Chumash you have to be careful with your health. They just point, they bring to your attention. This may be an issue of health. So if you live in a generation when it's not, you live in a country where it's not an issue, not an issue and not an issue. That's not a takana derabanan. That's a din minatar. You have to be careful about your health. And if you ascertain that under these circumstances there's no issue of health, so the whole, there's no issue of derabanan. They don't have how to make a takana derabanan.
Next question is,
sorry.
Next question is, what is the problem with women rabbis, and is there a difference between a woman rabbi and a yoetzet halakha?
Women rabbis is a very big problem. That's the beginning of reform. It's clearly the beginning of reform. We know historically, during the days of Vayisheni, the Tzdukim rejected the whole Torah Shebal Peh. There were specific things that are called disputes between the Tzdukim and the Chachamim. So one of the shtick that they had was, and a lot of the shtick that the Tzdukim did were picked up by the early Christians. Like you celebrate Shavuos always on a Sunday. So the Christians picked it up. Pentecost is the holiday of the 50th day. It's always on a Sunday. Other things like that. So one of the early things that the Christians did, that they picked up, one of the shtick they picked up from the Tzdukim, was about the complaint against the rabbis that they're cheating the women of the equal rights. So in the days of the Gemara, the days of the Tanoim, they had an issue with Yerusha, whether Tirash Abbas and Bas HaBein, that the Torah discriminates against women, that if there are sons and daughters, the sons get the Yerusha, the daughters don't get any Yerusha. So they were complaining, it's not fair, the Torah is discriminating those who believe the Torah was Ben Hashemayim. So they said, God is not fair. Those who didn't believe the Ben Hashemayim said, the rabbis are not fair. Most of them don't believe, most of the feminists don't believe in Torah Ben Hashemayim. So they say, the rabbis are not fair. The rabbis are cheating the women. That's how the Tzdukim, that was one of the tainas that the Tzdukim had. They said, you have to adjust the laws of Yerusha. And the Gemara records that was one of the issues that the early Christians started, that Bein Abbas Yarshim Ka'achas, that men and women Yarshim equally. This, in the Catholic Church, they were tumbling about this, so they decided they have to give equal rights to the women also. And then by the Reform, they picked that up from the Catholics. So to give women positions as rabbis is just, once you're going to change that, the whole religion is going to go, for sure. For sure it's going to go. What's the whole inyan of women rabbis? So it's based on the following. We were speaking before a little bit about this. We believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us all, but Tzelem Elokim, that's what it says in Chumash. So the Baruch Shalom instructed us for Halachta B'Drachah, we should, to preserve the Tzelem Elokim, we were instructed to figure out what are the ways of Hashem. The Rambam says you have to study Tanakh, otherwise how are we going to figure out from today till next year? We won't be able to figure out what a Darchei Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu and the other Nevi'im were told how the Ribbono Shel Olam runs the world in order that we should know how to imitate the ways of God to preserve our Tzelem Elokim. So Halachta B'Drachah. So one of the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is described by the Navi, Yishai is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Kel Mistater. He hides. As we said, he does such a good job at hiding that those that don't even believe that he's there. He does such a good job at hiding. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Kel Mistater. So he wants us to preserve our Tzelem Elokim. We should be Hatznei Alecha Sim Alakech. We should do everything Bitzina. What is mit Bitzina? So a lot of people misunderstand. They think Tznius only has to do with women dressing. They have to dress up to here and down to there and down to there. Women dressing is one aspect of Tznius. Tznius applies to men. and it applies to other areas outside of dressing as well. Tznius means to do things b'tzina as opposed to b'farhesia. Let's say, they give a guy an aliyah, he screams the bracha out loud. Another guy will whisper it so softly, you have to strain ears to hear. Well, what's he doing? He's drawing attention that he's different from everybody else. Or the Mesillas Hashem describes, a guy comes into the yeshiva, a new student, he walks right away to the front row. Or he comes to the shul, he sits all the way in the back, just to draw attention. He's so humble, he sits all the way in the back. Or he comes to the base manager with a loud green sweater, or a loud red sweater, just to draw attention. Everybody should see, I'm here, I'm different from everybody else. So you're not supposed to draw attention to yourself. You're supposed to lead, and then we can't be invisible. The Rebbe Shlomo is invisible. He's a Kelmer, so we can't be invisible, especially if you're overweight, like me. If you're fat, you can't be invisible. But the Rebbe Shlomo wants us all to lead private lives as opposed to public lives. So I always compromise on my privacy. I'm always speaking in public. I'm a rabbi. Once in a while, the Rebbe Shlomo made a gilish here. Usually he's Kelmer's data. Usually he hides, and he hides very well. On the occasion of Makas Bukharis, on Maimon HaSinai, Kriyas Yamsu was a Caleb Andrew, Rasul Shiv Chalaya, Masha Roy, Cheskat Al Buzik, Ba'is Markova. On occasion, Rabbi Shalom does Gilu Shechina. So sometimes the Rabbi Shalom tells us he wants us to do things before he says. Somebody has to be the president of the shul, somebody has to be the rabbi, somebody has to be the mayor, someone has to be the Rosh HaMemshalah. So the Rabbi Shalom said, Sayim Tosim Adlecha Melech, and the Chachamim had a tradition, Melech Olay Malka. It's the Sifrei, and it's a Gemara and Brachas like that. The Rebbe Shalom said, even when people have to compromise on their privacy, on their tznias, it's bad enough that we expect that men that they should compromise. The Rebbe Shalom wants that women shouldn't have to compromise. If you have no brera, let's say there's nobody in shul who knows how to learn Kriyas HaTorah. It's a Mikra Adin, a woman can learn the Kriyas HaTorah, but we want to avoid that because it's bad enough that the men have to compromise on their tznias. We don't want the women to have to compromise. It's based on that pasuk. So I'm tossing Malach and Melech, Melech v'loy Malko. I remember they asked Rav Soloveitchik, was it permissible to appoint Golda Meir as the Rosh HaMemshalah? So he said, and the Gurion was Mutah. The Gurion was an Apikairis. He said, they're not consulting the Mizrahi. Rav Soloveitchik was officially the honorary president of the Mizrahi. Poel and Mizrahi, both together when they joined. So Ben Gurion was like it then also. It was an apikaris. It wasn't permissible for that. Unless the woman is the best one for the job. If the only one who's going to get the job done well is a woman, you have no choice. You have to appoint a woman. Maybe at that time. Maybe it was Alpidin. Maybe Golda Meir was the best one for the job. Basically, the people who want to have women rabbis are just interested in changing the whole Shulchan Aruch. They just want to throw out the whole thing. And you have to be blind not to see it. And one thing is going to lead to another. They're just going to... I remember Rabbi Soloveitchik's family tradition was that they didn't say piyutim in the middle of Birchas Kriya Shema. But when he was the rabbi in Boston, he insisted that they had to say every Olam HaRavos that's printed in the Siddur. Because when he first came to America, the reformer, the conservative, were changing everything in the Siddur. So he said, if we're going to start changing in the Siddur, so they're going to want to change everything. So you got to say everything that's printed in the Siddur. That was the only time in my life that I ever said my rabbis. It was when I visited in Rabbi Soloveitchik's yeshiva in Boston. And then in New York, and I was born in Pennsylvania, we never said my rabbis on Yonta, but Rabbi Soloveitchik insisted. That's it. That's the attitude. You're going to change one thing, you're going to change everything. You have to be very careful. I can just foresee all of these people who go for the women rabbis, everything is going to be conservative, then it's going to be reformed, then it's going to be assimilated. All of their descendants are going to leave Judaism. There's no other way. This is totally against the tradition of the Jewish people. We always had women who were Noshim Chachmonias. There were always women who knew how to learn Gemara. And they never were looking for a title of rabbi. And they never were, they would discuss with their husbands or discuss with the rabbi what the din should be. They never would be appointed as rabbis. Yo'atzot in America is very different from Yo'atzot in Eretz Yisrael. Yo'atzot in America, unfortunately, have caused quite a churban. I think there are 12 of them, and more than half of them have made major mistakes in Pesak Halacha. They're not learned enough. It's a farce. You gotta get a woman who's gonna study Hilchas Nida and know everything by heart. Everything in Halacha is interconnected. A girl who never learned Nashim and Ezekiel, never learned Mishnah, has never learned Gemara, never learned other parts of Shulchan. What do you mean she's gonna be an expert in Hilchas Nida? It can't be. You have to be knowledgeable in Gemara. You don't even understand what the terminology is that the Shach is talking about if you're not familiar with Gemara language. The whole thing is a joke. What do you mean? A girl that spent 2 years learning Hilchas Nida knows it well. So like tzunnis. If a man only studies 2 years, he's not going to learn Hilchas Nida. And the man already learned so many years Gemara. The whole thing is it's a big mistake. I don't know, they say in Eretz Yisrael it's much better. One of the Rabbanim from America spoke to Rabban Lichtenstein. Apparently he gave the approval to have the Yoatzot in America. So the rabbi was telling Rabban Lichtenstein the way the system runs. He said, what are you talking about? He never approved that. He thought that the Yoatzot are going to present all the Shabbos to the Rabban, which they don't do. They decide everything on their own. They don't consult the Rabban. So Rabban Lichtenstein said he never approved that. Rabban was very tmimistic. He was very naive. He was always very, very tmimistic, very trusting. And he would always approve things, thinking, everybody thinking the same way he does, but the other people don't think the same as him. It's brought a big kilkul. In Europe, the practice is to be mishum tznius. The women wouldn't ask the rabbis. They would ask the rabbi's wife, or they would ask the dayan's wife. The wife would ask her husband, and the husband would give the psak, and then the wife would give. So you can have such a system in America also. If the woman feels uncomfortable asking the rabbi, so let her ask the rabbi's wife. The rabbi's wife will ask her husband. That's the way they used to do it in Europe. Once one of these yahrzeit was speaking in public in a certain shul, so someone wanted to plant a question in the audience. So one of the people in the audience asked the question, what if a woman asked you a shayla not in the Hilchas Nida? A woman had a baby, and she wants to know whether she has to fast on Yom Kippur. Will you answer the question? Because you're not officially certified. You weren't certified to Paschal. She said, of course I'm going to answer the question. But she wasn't. But she never had her study in that area. She does not Hilchas Yom Kippur. So that's scandalous. The girl thinks that she learned for 2 years Hilchas Nida. She already came from the Rashke Ba'ag. You have to ask someone who knows Hilchas Yom Kippur, not a girl who thinks she knows Hilchas Nida. It's very unfortunate. We live in a generation where there's a lot of gaiva, and the women don't realize that feminism is in contradiction to orthodoxy. Years ago, around 15 years ago, there was a woman put a piece on the internet that she was always an orthodox feminist, and she thought that there's no contradiction between the two. And now she realized there's a contradiction. You have to make up your mind whether you want to be a feminist or an orthodox. And she gave up the orthodoxy in favor of feminism. There is a contradiction. There's a contradiction between whatever feminism stands for and what orthodoxy stands for. So this whole push in America, the Yoatzot began from Jofa, from the association of the orthodox feminists, which is a contradiction in terms of no such thing as an orthodox feminist. So it's a big problem. In America, it's a big problem.
Is it a requirement to wear a hat and/or a jacket for davening?
We have a pasuk that the Gemara quotes: "He kol mikras alakecha Yisrael." You should prepare yourself hachanis in advance. You should dress properly when you're about to daven. You should dress up. However, one the Rambam describes, however one would go dress up in order to meet an adam chashuv, that's how you should dress up. So in Europe, for many generations, fully formally dressed meant to wear a jacket and a tie and a hat. In recent years, I think when Kennedy was sworn in, I think he was the first one who wears bird's getter. All the other presidents, when they were sworn in, they always wore a hat. He was the first one who wears bird's getter, so since him, they don't wear a hat anymore. Years ago, when they had the pictures of Churchill with Stalin, everybody in the picture, everybody was wearing a jacket and a tie and a hat. And now, the heads of state go around without a hat. So now it's in our generation, it's considered fully formally dressed even without a hat. In the days of the Gemara in Bavel, they used to wear a sash to be fully dressed. And that's why they insisted you have to have a gartel, because that's fully formally dressed. Rabbi Schwab used to be the rabbi in Washington Heights in the Breuer's community. So he told over the story that once a chassidish fellow went to a business meeting, and he forgot that he's going to have to daven mincha there, so he forgot to take his gartel. So no problem. So after he finished the business, he took off his tie, he made a gartel out of the tie. So he said, the foolish man didn't realize that today the gartel is the tie. In the days of the Gemara, you had to be fully formally dressed. You had to wear a sash. Today, fully formally dressed, you don't wear a sash in America, you wear a tie. So what do you take off the tie, made a gartel out of it? What the Gemara says, you have to have a gartel. Today, the gartel means a tie. You have to be fully dressed. But you need a jacket. In America, I would think you need a jacket. In Eretz Yisrael, I don't know, when you go to visit the Rosh HaMemshalah, do you wear a jacket? I would guess that you do. I don't know. Well, you have to wear a tie today in Eretz Yisrael. I don't know. In America, you have to wear a jacket and a tie. Eretz Yisrael, you got to figure out when you go visit important people. Does Derech Eretz dictate that you have to wear a jacket and a tie? Then you have to dress up nicely when you're done. Kids, you have to. That's right. You're not supposed to daven in your pajamas. You're supposed to dress up nicely before you're about to daven. And whatever is the way you would dress up to be in a non-chashuv, that's how you got to dress up to daven.
What would be the strongest message of Reb Soloveitchik to modern Orthodoxy today?
What would be what?
Reb Soloveitchik's strongest message to modern Orthodoxy today.
Rabbi Soloveitchik was always makbid on every minig that's in Shulchan Aruch he got to observe. There are minhagim that the Mishnah Berurah says nobody observes. He said, no, Shulchan Aruch quotes a minig, got to observe the minig. He was telling us that we have a minig that when Balabas appoints the rabbi as a shlich to sell a chametz for him, so there's a minig that the rabbi gives a handkerchief to the Balabas to acquire the right, the power of agency, to acquire the power to act as a shliach. So the Rambam says, al pidin, it doesn't make any sense. So the Chazanish and the Stipler, whenever they used to ask the Rav to sell chametz, they on principle, they wouldn't make a Kenyan Suda. Rav Soloveitchik said, what are you talking about? The Rambam starts off by saying it there's no need for it, it doesn't make sense. But then the Rambam does justify it. So he gave a whole shiur. Every year and a half, he would give that shiur about what Kenyan Suda is all about, and everything fit in. And he said, every rabbi knows that the morning of Mechiras Chametz, Erev Pesach in the morning, when you're about to go to the Goy to sell a Chametz, there's always a Balabas who calls up the last minute and says, Rabbi, I forgot to ask you to sell a Chametz for me. So Rabbi Soloveitchik said, he was explaining, how can you make the Kenyan Suda over the telephone? So he explained two eitzes, how to do it over the telephone, how to fulfill the minig. The Chazanish held that as a minig shtus. Chazanish and the stock, because the Rambam makes fun of it. But then Rabbi Soloveitchik said, no, the Rambam explains the minig, and it fit in with his whole big shir and what Kenyan Suda is all about. So he explained it. So he said, every minig you got to observe. You have to, people misunderstood. They all think Rabbi Soloveitchik is the father of modern Orthodoxy. Father of modern Orthodoxy means you can be Orthodox and you can be modern at the same time, but you have to be Orthodox. Orthodox means you have to learn a lot of Torah, you have to keep all the dinim, you have to keep all the minhagim. He was not prepared to make compromises. He didn't make any concessions. He explained how all the din, he said if he would be the Rambam, one of his famous Rosh, if he would be the Rambam, he would write a 14th Animamin. Animamin Mamun Shleima, that the Torah has meaning and significance in all generations, in all times, in all countries in the world. You just have to look for meaning in the Torah, but you don't change all the dinim because it doesn't conform with people's attitude today. He always used to say, we live in a neurotic world. They're crazy outside. So what should we dance now? We should dance to their tune. That was one of the famous lines. We live, they're all neurotic. We should go in. So we should dance to their tune. It's a terrible thing that people are so enamored, they fall in love with all the latest mishigasin. The Mishigasa, we have Hashkafas HaTorah, we have a beautiful religion. Our religion is Min HaShemayim. We have attitudes that the Gemara has. There's nothing wrong with the Tanoim's attitudes. We have traditions on everything. We should follow our tradition. We should ignore what's going on the outside world. We shouldn't be embarrassed. That's what he always would say. Shouldn't be embarrassed with the rabbi's attitude towards women. They had a very healthy attitude and everything is wonderful. Mrs. Soloveitchik was not a pushover. She also had a PhD. They met in university. She was also a very brilliant woman. She wasn't a feminist. What would be his message to, I don't know. If he'll be in our generation, I think they would just ignore him. Because as it is now, they're just ignoring him. They don't care what you cook, what Rabbi Soloveitchik said, doesn't mean a thing. He's passe. He's gone already. He's dead and buried, and they just forget about him. By me, my whole observance, everything by me, is based on what I heard from Rav Soloveitchik. But by many in America, they just couldn't care less what he has to say. They're just not curious.
Halachic issues with transgender individuals, including which side of mechitza they should go on, and are there
which side of the mechitza? I remember I was a few years ago, I visited in Johannesburg for a week. The chief rabbi invited me to come for their rabbinical conference. So there's a very tall, the dayan there is very tall, Rav Moshe Kurtzdag, something like 7 feet tall, very imposing figure, big Talmid Chacham. So he was telling me that there was a fellow who was a transgender, he became a woman and he wanted to convert on the understanding that he'll be able to daven on the women's side of the mechitza. So he said to the man, why don't you go down the block, there's a conservative rabbi, reform rabbi, he'll convert you and let you sit wherever you want. They all sit together. We have enough headaches. We have enough mishugoy. We don't need another mishugoy. Transgender, Nebuchadnezzar, Rachmanis. Rachmanis on them. They held that Rabbi Shalom made a mistake. They made them whatever, a male or a female. Rabbi Shalom makes so many mistakes. He's making mistakes right and left. Now they're discovering more and more. He made mistakes every other person. When a six-year-old child wants to become a transgender, and the parents have to give in to the job, because otherwise you're harassing your children. The whole country became crazy. In America, they're all crazy. Which side of the mechitza? No, I don't know. Because it does make so much of a difference to each other. Why don't we tell them, go daven in the conservative synagogue. You can daven men and women together. People are mishugoyim. I don't know. They had in the papers recently that there was a famous Chassidish Rav. Who always used to speak at the Satmar demonstrations. He was a very good speaker. He wasn't a Hungarian, though. He learned in Lublin, by the Lublin Yeshiva, by Meir Shapira. He told all the stories about Meir Shapira. But he was a good speaker, so the Satmar Rebbe always used to have him speak. So his great-grandson, who's named after him, the exact same name, decided that God made a mistake. He decided to become a girl. So they had his picture in the newspaper. He was married. You look a handsome guy with a nice beard and a nice long jacket, chassidish get up. He looked so handsome. And now he became a girl. He looks ugly like anything. Why did he decide that God made a mistake? He looked so much better as a man than as a woman. And now he's trying to convince everybody that they should all, whatever you are, you should convert. Because the Baruch Hashem made a mistake on everybody. All the men should become women, all the women should become men. So Rachmanis on the guy, Nebuch, and he had the same name as his great-grandfather. His great-grandfather was a famous rabbi, prominent rabbi. Is there an Issa Yichud with such a person? It's not shaykh to sin with them. Yichud is only us if it's possible to sin. If it's not possible to sin, so there's probably no Issa Yichud. I don't think so.
Which living person does your Schechter admire or respect the most?
Which living person? I give that a lot of thought. I don't know. I never gave it any thought. Okay. I respect a lot of people. Well, no, most. I don't know.
With regard to dating, how long should one date for? What age is an appropriate age to start dating? And what qualities should one look for in a wife?
Very, very important questions. I dated an awful lot of girls. So when I met Kozerni, Rebbe and Yeshiva, who owed a debt of gratitude to some, had always sent me to take out their daughter. A lot of these girls are absolutely not for me. Anyway, when I finally met my wife, it was we practically got engaged at the end of the first date. We never knew each other before. I didn't know her parents either. I saw her parents were religious people. Her father was a nice rabbi. At the time, I didn't know. At the time that I first saw him, I didn't know he was a rabbi in Torah Das. I didn't know he was the one who wrote the Shari Yosher. Shimon Shkop asked the Mashgiach in the yeshiva, Mir Yeshiva. He needs a book and knows how to write Hebrew well to rewrite the Shari Yosher. The children didn't know. His children didn't know. When I got engaged, all the rabbis in my youth told me, he's the one who wrote the Shari Yosher. He never told his children that. So I met the girl. The girl was good looking. And we talked. We went for a walk. And at the end of the first day, it was we almost clinched the deal that night. We just waited a little bit. It was in the middle of the summer. And I waited till Chamisha Sabov to propose. But we were really almost engaged the first time. What do you have to look for? You have to have... Boys are just looking for a good-looking girl. The pasuk says, "Shekarchem evela yoifa isha yiras Hashem hitasala." Doesn't mean you should close your eyes and marry an ugly girl and always say, "Shekarchem evela yoifa." The Mefarshim explain what it means. Shekar yiras Hashem hitasala b'cheina b'yoifa. If the girl has yiras Shemayim, then you praise her that she also has chein b'yoifa. The pasuk praises Sari Yemena was good-looking and Rachel was good-looking. The Imas were good-looking. So he's supposed to look for a good-looking girl. I think my wife is very good looking. She, at the time that I met her, she was a very fancy dresser. At that time, I didn't think she was religious when I first saw her. I saw her come off of the bus. I was on vacation. I'd learned in yeshiva for many years. I'd learned perhaps of Ajik 9 years, and I was going to go to Eretz Yisrael. I had my passport, and it was already stamped on a Toshav Arai. I didn't buy the tickets yet, the travel tickets. I was going to go learn in Eretz Yisrael by Rav Beryl Soloveitchik. This was over 50 years ago. We just celebrated our 50th wedding anniversary. So my mother said I should rest up before I go to Eretz Yisrael. So she didn't want to go on vacation, so I went with my father to the mountains. So we're in a hotel, so I saw this girl come. I didn't think she was religious, because at that time religious girls wore very plain dresses. And this girl was very fancy. She had a fancy hairdo and a very fancy dress. And then I saw she's sitting next to her parents. So I realized that's her parents. Her father's a religious man. Her father was laning the Kriyas HaTorah on vacation there. And I saw she's apparently a nice religious girl. And then I realized she's a balabasta. She knows how to cook. She knows how to bake. She was the youngest of all the children. She helped raise the children by her older sisters and by her brother. That's what marriage is all about, raising children. Do you know how to be a balabasta? The boys in the yeshivas forgot about it already. You walk on the street, you say, New York, there's so many non-Jewish women. Everybody's all dressed up. You have to have a wife who's going to dress up for you, not only when you're dating. She has to dress up 50 years later also, after being married 50 years. There are a lot of people in the street who are going to divert your attention to look at them. You want to stay looking at your wife. You have to make sure your wife keeps on dressing up nicely. My wife dresses very nicely. You have to look for a good-looking girl, but it should be with Yirah Shamayim. You have to have a wife with Yirah Shamayim. You have to have a girl who's a balas chesed. When Eliezer Eved Avram was looking for Shidduch for Yitzchok, the test was to see whether she's a balas chesed. People are raised in different backgrounds, and each family has a different style of doing things. So if each one is going to insist, the boy is going to insist that it has to be his way, the girl is going to insist that it's not going to be any shalom bayis. You have to have people who are Balei Chesed, who are interested in pleasing each other. They're interested in working out some kind of a compromise. You should have a compromise on the mitzvahs of Torah. That's terrible. If you're going to compromise on the laws of Kashrus, or the laws of Taras and Mishpocha, because the girl does want to be observant, so that's not for you. So you don't marry that girl. But a Torah usually have certain digdukim. Everybody follows the kids who Shulchan Aruch. Ben Torah has a chumra over here, chumra over there. So you have to marry a girl who's intelligent enough, who's sharp enough, bright enough to understand what are your digdukim. She won't be able to help you observe your midas chasidus. Usually Ben Torah have certain midas chasidus. But you have to realize the main aspect in marriage is make sure the girl is she put together? Is she neat? Does she know how to wash dishes? Does she know how to cook food? Does she know how to raise children? Is she intelligent? Is she bright? You have to look for all of these. It's very unfortunate. A lot of boys are looking for a movie star. That's a big mistake. That's Shekhar Chen Heva. You have to look for Yirah Shamayim. And then with the Yirah Shamayim, Hita Salot, V'chein V'yoifi. Okay. That's a plus. That's a mila. You have to know who you are. Before you know whom you're going to marry, you have to decide, who are you? Do you want to be a Yirah Shamayim? And if you marry a girl who has more Yirah Shamayim than you, the world won't come to an end. It'll be good. So she'll pull you up on Madrega. It'll be more Yirah Shamayim, more Medakdik in Mitzvahs. Shouldn't be afraid of Yirah Shamayim. When we bench Rosh Chodesh, we say twice, Chaim Sheish Bam Yirah Shamayim. We can all use an extra dose of Yirah Shamayim. There's so much lacking. You have, we have in our generation Orthodox people, but they're lacking Yerushalayim. You have Rabbanim lacking Yerushalayim. Maze. You have Rabbanim all lacking Yerushalayim. How can it be? You're learning Torah. We believe that Torah is a description of the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rav Soloveitchik has a whole essay. How can it be? The title of the essay, I think in Hebrew, is Talmud Torah V'Anova. So he says, how can it be that a Talmud Chacham is arrogant? When you're learning Torah and you come up with a Chiddush, it means that you've discovered some new aspect of the Ribbono Shel Olam. You're in the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam now. So how can you be arrogant in the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam? Everyone's importance fades to insignificance. You're nothing in the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam. If you're a big Talmud Chacham and you know more about Torah, means you know more about Elokus, so you're in the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam. You have to be arrogant. Rav Soloveitchik was always arrogant when he was working out the Shia. When the Chassam Sofer was Bar Mitzvah, Chassam Sofer's father was a Balabos, he was born in Frankfurt, Yekes. He had a Rabbonis in Hungary, but he was not Hungarian, he was a Yeke. So when he was Bar Mitzvah, his father couldn't prepare a Shtigl Torah for him, so he prepared his own Torah. So he quoted something from a great-grandfather who wrote his Sefer. I forgot. I think Kosis Yeshuas. Seder Nezikin is called Yeshuas. I think there's a Sefer Kosis Yeshuas, and there's a Sefer Kosos Yeshuas, both on Seder Nezikin. They quoted something from Zelda Zeta, and he showed that it's wrong. He shrugged it up. That was a shtickle term. So the father didn't know who's right. The father was a balabas. So the father slapped him in public. He says, little pisher, how do you have the chutzpah to disagree with Zelda Zeta? What are you talking about? So his rebbe was there, Rav Nas Nadler. So he said to the father, why did you slap him? The kid is right, and your grandfather is wrong. So he told the Chassam Sofer, a bar mitzvah child, I think you should leave your father's home. Because you're going to stay home, you're going to ask Akasha and Rashi, Akasha and Taisa, Akasha and the Rama, Akasha and the Gemara. Father's going to slap you. You're not allowed to ask any Kashas and Rashi. You're not allowed to ask any Kashas. That's the only way you learn. That's the only way you grow in learning. You have to ask Kashas when something doesn't make sense. You have to ask Kashas. So you have to have chutzpah. Rav Soloveitchik always had chutzpah when he was learning. He asked all the Kashas and he tried to figure out what's going on. So you have to have chutzpah and gaiva when you're learning. The Rav Shalom gave us the Torah and he gave us the Chachma and he told us we should. He gave us a challenge, figure out everything that's going on here. But then after he thought that he figured it out, then he would step back. Because he felt he's in the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam. He just figured out something new about Elokus that he never knew before. It means you're closer, you're more in the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So that's the whole theme of the essay that he wrote. How can a person as a Talmid Chacham who really believes that the Torah is Smunas Hashem Yabit, we were just talking before, the Torah is the Moshel HaKadmoni, it's a description of Elokus. You're learning about the Ribbono Shel Olam and you're figuring out something new and you're in the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam, how can you be arrogant? The person has to step back. So yeah. The person has to have arrogance in order to grow in learning. But then when he grows in the learning, then he has to have humility. What was I supposed to be answering? What was the question about dating?
Dating.
You're going to marry a girl who's arrogant. You're not going to have any shalom bayis. That's a big problem. And arrogance ruins shalom bayis all the time. Husband's arrogance also. Husband's arrogance, other wife's arrogance. The Gemara in Saita says that the girls fall for the guy because they're so masculine and they're so arrogant. But then, after they marry them, then they suffer because they're so arrogant. The Gemara says the gaiva is terrible. The Gemara talks about gaiva on the part of the men. But guy on that part of the women is also it ruins the whole marriage. There's a certain so you have to make sure you marry a girl who's reasonable. She should be humble. Humility is a very important midah. You have to look for midas. And the 3-volume set of the Kol Kisvei HaChavetz Chaim, so they have there one volume written by the Chavetz Chaim, son, a biography of the Chavetz Chaim. So he writes in the biography that when his father got married the first time, Chavetz Chaim's first wife died, then he married the second wife. She lived in America years later. When he married the first wife, he was just looking for a girl who knows how to cook potatoes. Maybe in that time, that was good enough. Today, probably wouldn't work too well, just a girl who knows how to cook potatoes. I remember many years ago, I spent a summer in Kiryat Yavne. I was giving shiurim there. spent two summers in Kiryat Yamim. So one summer I was there. So at the end of the summer, one of the boys tells me he's holding by getting a British student from London. His father was a rabbi, not London, somewhere else in England. Father was a rabbi somewhere in England. And he tells me at night, in the base manager, around 11:30 at night, tells me he's dating a girl. And he's telling me a girl said this, a girl said that. So I said, I asked him, when are you going home? He said, he's going home for the sukkah. So I said, you better discuss it with your parents. Doesn't sound like the girl is for you. Then it comes, Aseres Yemei Teshuva, he's already engaged to the girl. So everybody's wishing him mazel tov. And then on Friday night, everybody goes up to say good Shabbos to the Rosh Yeshiva, Zechan Rebach Rav Goldrich, at that time the Rosh Yeshiva. So I was standing, I was in davening, he had me sit in between him and the Mashgiach, Rav Rivlin. So I'm standing in the front, so the boy passes by, everybody saying mazel tov, and he says to me, because I had recommended he shouldn't rush into anything, he should speak it over with his parents, he says, it's okay, it's going to be okay, I shouldn't worry. Then I don't know why, he came to YU in the middle of the year, and then he told us that he had to break off the engagement. Of course I had to break off the engagement. And then Tyra. You have to marry a normal girl, she has to be good looking, she has to know how to diaper baby, she has to be interested in having children, she has to have a desire to raise a family, she should be neat and clean. Balabasta, you have to marry Balabasta. She should be good looking also, she should be intelligent, bright. Married a girl, the girl that I married, her parents are religious, and she had three sisters and a brother, all religious. So we could eat by her parents, everything was kosher. And my father-in-law was a Talmid Chacham. He appreciated the fact that I was in learning. We could talk and learning together.
Thank you very much again.
Very good.
Appreciate it.
Have a tzlacha.